Thursday, April 9th, 2015. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, today, I'm not going to hold anything back. In fact, I'm going to warn you, if you're the get your panties all in a bunch type, you're going to want to run, maybe come back, maybe like next week or something, and you know, when we're talking about safer topics. But today, I'm going to have to get in your face a little bit, because I'm going to talk to you about something in a real frank type of manner, and it's a little something I like to call a dumb reason why you're missing lots of opportunities. Now, today's episode is brought to you by our How to Hunt More Effectively online program. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and pay the bills. Hey everyone, it's Paul Castain, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new online training program that we have that's going to be starting on May 6th. Now, the cool thing about this program is that we're going to be focused like 100% on showing you ways that you can bring in brand spanking new clients. So here's the plan. We're going to come right out of the gate. We're going to show you 10 places where you can hunt for business that I can tell you the average person neglects completely. From there, we're going to show you how you can send a better email right from the subject line, by the way, where I'm going to show you over a dozen subject line mistakes. I'm going to show you over a dozen better subject lines that you could be embracing. How about the actual message? Most of them are just kind of weak, right? It's kind of like a Me Too sales message. I'm going to show you how to send a better message, as well as several techniques that are going to help you stand out. And in fact, you can really circle that part, help you stand out, because the entire gist of this program is going to be showing you over 100 tactics where you can indeed stand out. And I never use the word indeed. We're also going to be talking about how you can use things like snail mail, social networking, traditional networking, how to triple the amount of referrals that you're getting, how to make a better phone call, because it does all come down to a phone call sooner or later. So we're going to show you ways that we can warm up that cold call. And as well as in the final session, we're going to help you create a communication plan that gets all of these ideas that I've been sharing, all these different forms of outreach, marching together and truly complementing each other for a more effective plan. Now, as always, we deliver each session live right on your computer screen, so you can kind of join us from your favorite chair. Then, usually within about 24 to 48 hours, we send out the recording, slides and all. This way, you can go at your own pace, or if you like, you could attend live and have the reinforcement of the recording. I mean, how cool is that? So, for more information, and of course, to reserve your seat, because this is going to be coming up on May 6th, and you don't want to wait until the last minute, feel free to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. Let me run that by you again. yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. Now, if you manage a team of sales reps and you'd like to get an idea of our special pricing and extras that we throw in when you enroll two or more, I want you to send me an email directly, as opposed to indirectly, to paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. One more time, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. I'm hoping to see you all in class, folks. Looking forward to working with you. Okay, so our topic is a dumb reason why you are missing lots of opportunities. So let me kick it off, man. There's just no nice way to go about it. So let me just kick it off by asking a really stupid question. Does it bother you when a potential client chooses your competitor over you? Let me say it again. This isn't a trick question. No hidden cameras here. We're not trying to punk you or anything. I mean, this is like a sincerely honest question I'm asking you, as dumb as it is. Does it bother you when a potential client chooses your competitor over you? Now, a lot of people tell me, hey, you know, and I'm not really any kind of a rocket scientist for concluding that. I bet it pisses you off. In fact, a lot of people tell me it really doesn't get any worse than that feeling. But you know what? I have to respectfully disagree. I do think it gets worse. Let's take that same scenario where you have your potential client chooses your competitor over you. But how does it make you feel? And I know this has had to have happened to you. They choose your competitor for the wrong reasons. Have you ever had that happen? Where your competitor walks away with an opportunity that you know that you were better suited for it. And it's not just your ego. I mean, you know, a panel of experts, whoever the hell they would be, right? Doesn't always sound really sophisticated. A panel of experts would agree that you were the better choice. Now, let's break this down even more because, like, I'm going somewhere with this. So, in other words, they didn't choose your competitor because they had a better widget than you. In fact, yours is better. They didn't choose your competitor because your competitor's company is better. Their service isn't better than yours. In fact, yours will blow theirs away. They didn't choose your competitor because the warranties are better. Heck, I mean, let's put all the cards on the table because I can go on and on and on. But I guess sooner or later, I got to get to the damn point with you guys because you probably wonder, where the hell is he going with this? Well, we're going to go there right now. I'm going to pull the car right over and say, ha, we've arrived. But anyway, let's put all the cards on the table. And let's just say that you have more experience and expertise and you would kick your competitor's ass in salesmanship, saleswomanship, your knowledge of your product and service, and your company overall knows what the hell it's doing on a much higher level than your competition. I mean, how does that make you feel? That has to be happening to you. I mean, maybe for some of you it hardly ever happens, but it happens. Others, it happens all the time. And if you're like me, I don't have it happen all the time, but just enough to piss me off. But here's the deal. Your competitor, in many cases, and this is the tough pill to swallow, I really want you to maybe go ahead and tell your ego, and I'll wait while you tell your ego to go wait in the car. This is going to be tough love right now. But in many cases, your competitor is getting more opportunities than you, because they show up more often than you do, more consistently than you do, and in a better fashion than you do. So what happens is that your potential clients are simply more familiar with your competitors than they are with you. Does that make sense? I mean, you may not agree with me, but it's pretty damn spot on. I mean, people, don't they always say this and beat this phrase up? People do business with people they know, like, and trust. Does everybody know who you are? Does everybody like you and trust you? And, like, are you around enough to even, like, get to first base with that process? Most people, they're not. And it's not that we're sitting around and, like, you know, like we're playing Angry Birds or something, we're playing video games or playing checkers out on the stoop and dicking around, which is the technical term here. I believe it is, anyway. At least where I come from, out in New York. I really believe that we don't sit there, things to do today, like do nothing. It's just that we get caught up in a lot of stuff. You have accounts you have to service. You got all kinds of things on the back end that have to happen. I mean, God knows how many fires you probably had to put out today. So I'm with you. But it still doesn't make the fact go away that they are more familiar in some cases with your competitors and they are willing to go ahead and give them an opportunity that you know that you probably would have been much more suited for. See, they don't know. That's really where the problem is. So let's talk about what you can do about it. I mean, we could make this into a whole, you know, piss and moan fest here, but I got to give you some takeaways. I got to give you some ideas on what to do. So the first tip I'm going to tell you, I mean, short of threatening you, like I'm going to break a bottle now and say, so help me, I'll cut you. I mean, seriously, man, it's like getting to that point. That don't you dare, when I tell you what item number one is, don't you give me an eye roll and say I know. All I want you to do, because you are going to say I know that, and that's basic. Oh my God, is he running out of content? Like, what the hell, Captain Obvious Gastain or whatever. Hey, whatever you got to say, man, sticks and stones. You know the deal, right? But here's the deal. I want you to seriously ask yourself, yeah, I'm saying I know that, but do I do it and then shut your mouth and do it? You see that? Right there is going to make a big difference. So what I want you to do, item number one, I want you to seriously, over the next 2 weeks, and if you want, because this podcast is technically coming out on the 8th, but most of you are going to listen to it on the 9th, which is on Thursday. If you want to wait until like Monday to start fresh, feel free. But you better do it. I want you to track your time over the next 2 weeks. And there's two things in particular that I want you to look for. Now, by the way, you probably heard that a million times, track your time. But nobody ever tells you what to track. It's just like, this is what I'm doing. But I have two very specific things I want you to be aware of. Number one, I want you to be aware of how many times you are interrupted and you have to stop what you're doing, whether it be outbound calls or emails or even trying to get out the door and go to a customer, whatever it is. I want you to jot down how many times it happens, how long the interruption lasts, all that kind of stuff. Now, just a few things just to let you know. This is a huge thing right here. The average person is interrupted about 56 times a day. It breaks down to about 7 times an hour, which is pretty substantial. Also, we also know that people are losing an average of about 2.1 hours a day to interruptions. Now, just to be clear, interruptions can be both good or bad, right? They're interruptions. Either way, you are stopping what you're doing. Now, it could be everything from a potential client calling you up and you stop what you're doing and say, hey, you got the deal. That's my favorite interruption. I'll take it all day long. It's still an interruption. It could also be emails. I mean, we know that people are checking their smartphones now 150 times a day. Do you really need to do it 150 times a day? I'm going to tell you no. I'll be the first one to put up his hand and say that we've got the new favorite addiction right there. That is a brutal addiction. 150 times a day? Are you kidding me? Anyway, but now what I want you to do when you look at the interruptions and you track these and you raise your awareness, because the first step is always awareness, what I want you to do is, again, ask your ego to go wait in the car and have a real honest discussion with yourself, but not out loud, because people tend to get drug tested when they do that randomly. You want to ask yourself, well, these interruptions that I have, are they coworker imposed? Are they boss-imposed? Are they client-imposed? And here's the toughest one. Are they self-imposed? Could be all of the above. Probably is going to be all of the above. You need to look at that. Then what you need to do is you need to look at things that are time wasters for you. And again, things that are time wasters that might come from clients, coworkers, your boss, your company, the policies. And you know what? That's the safe stuff, because that doesn't involve you having to say, I'm wasting my own time. I mean, so there could be things that you're doing that really are not the best use of your time. And you have to be willing over a 2-week period to step back honestly, let the ego leave the room, and just really look at some of the things that you're doing. That could be a huge thing for you. Now, all I want you to do at the end of this exercise, if you're willing to track your time for the next 2 weeks, is then try to find an opportunity between eliminating some time wasters, eliminating some interruptions, to get 1 hour a day back from being wasted and just time that's not well spent, and move it over to the side where you can start hunting more and you can start picking up phones more and sending more emails. You guys get the deal. When I'm saying hunting, I just want you guys to understand, I'm not saying pick up the phone more. I'm saying, yes, pick up the phone more. But, you know, last time I checked, man, it's like a new century. We're not living in the dark times where all we got to do is just the damn phone. We got to grow up with that one. We've got to use things other than the phone, or actually, I'm sorry, things in addition to the phone. So the next thing that you need to do, and I've kind of segued kind of in a crazy way to the next item, you need to mix up the types of touches that you're using. Most people, you know the deal, you've heard me rant about this before, are awesome at picking up the phone. That's what they do. And usually when I'm addressing a group of people, whether it be a keynote speech or a training session, I'll say, how many of you are using the phone? And whether they're lying or not, I mean, seriously, I think they're telling the truth. Hands go up. And then I say, well, okay, in addition to the phone, what else do you have? And everybody says email as if it's some creative venue. Okay, I understand. I get it. A lot of the world now is doing business on email. I do a tremendous amount on email, so I'm not going to argue with that. I also do a tremendous amount with the phone. I'm not going to diss the phone either. So those two. But then I say, and I ask the question, other than the phone and other than email, what else do you got? And it's hysterical to watch it. hate to make fun of everybody, but, you know, I'm kind of making fun of myself because I was this guy too, where like everybody breaks eye contact and suddenly they're looking at their phone. And like they don't want to make eye contact with me and if afraid like I'm going to like call them out in front of the group, which I never do. And everybody's got a whole lot of nothing. So you have got to start mixing it up. You need to understand that as good as the phone is and as good as email is, these are really noisy channels. They are flooded with activity. So we don't want to get rid of them, but we have to understand that we need more to it. Now, many of you, I don't know what you're waiting for with the social networks. A few years ago, and I still hear people say, well, I'm waiting to, you know, like get the facts on. Like, well, how long are you waiting? Are you waiting like for your competitor to eat your entire lunch? Or like, you know, would you at least like to get back some of your lunch right now and go back after them? It's ridiculous. And there's a lot of people out there that give just the most ridiculous, like most like asinine excuses for not embracing social media. One of them is, well, you know, I don't get, and you could fill in the blank. I don't get Twitter. I don't get LinkedIn. I don't get Google Plus. I don't get Facebook. I don't get why businesses would be on Facebook. Here is the bottom line. Again, I told you I was going to be a little tough with you today, so the panties are getting in a bunch, man. You might want to pause it. Maybe, you know, drink some chamomile tea, calm down or something, or whatever you got to do. Come back and take your medicine, because somebody needs to tell you this, and you might not be grasping it. And I know it's a real lousy message, but I hope you know by now that I'm not here to be your bestest buddy in the whole world. I really am here to impart some information that you need to hear that some people around you may not have the balls to tell you. So I want to be that guy now today, even though, like I said, you're going to probably all unsubscribe, but whatever. I'll get by, right? I'll just have to go to my wealthy benefactor and ask for another million. But anyway, here's the deal. You know, for you to make a decision based on what you don't get is truly an ignorant decision to make. It's an ignorant statement to make. Do you really think that the world is waiting to see what you get in order to base their decision on where they will show up? Do you really think your clients right now are sitting there thinking, well, you know, I've been thinking about going on, maybe I should go on Twitter, but I want to see what Tammy gets first or what John gets or my clients. Man, I would love it. My ego, oh my God, it would be just like huge. If I lived in a world where people were saying, you know, I'm thinking about going on LinkedIn and getting more active. I wonder if Uncle Paul gets LinkedIn. My wife couldn't handle me. With like my ego, I would be like, I would walk in like I was the king of the world. But it doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way with your customers and your prospects. Here's the deal, folks. They're going to show up wherever it is they want to show up. And you need to understand that everyone has their preferred method or platform or form of outreach, if you will, that they are most comfortable with. That is what they gravitate for. Yes, there are people that love the phone. You probably know them. I mean, even when you send them an email, next thing you know, your phone's ringing. It's like, why are they calling me? I just sent them an email, right? Well, that's their preferred way of dealing, right? So there's other people, it's text messages. Not that I'm an advocate on reaching out to somebody through a text message. I think that comes more once you're doing business. If that's what they want, I don't care. As long as their money's still green, I'll play. That's fine. There's other people out there, and I can tell you this from having been on LinkedIn now for almost 7 years. I can tell you that there are some people that I will never, ever be able to get a hold of them, including clients, unless I inbox them on LinkedIn. I have another client, by the way, that loves to start communicating with me on Twitter, and then she bounces over to Facebook, and then ultimately it's a text message. Listen, you know, this is kind of like what appeals to her. But here's the point. Everyone has their preferred form of outreach and their preferred communication platform. So if I am only clinging to the phone because I get the phone and you don't, guess what? I lose. And let's just really beat up the point a little bit more. Going back to the original point, if my competitors are showing up and they're willing to show up where I'm not willing to show up, I truly believe they're going to take opportunities that rightfully belong to me. And I say rightfully belong to me because I believe I'm better. I hope you do. I mean, I'm not going to be modest about it. I think I'm pretty damn good at what I do for a living. You should too. And I don't mind losing to someone that I feel is better or put together a better program or, you know, a number of variables. But if I'm going to lose simply because you knew who this person was and you didn't know who I was, unacceptable. And I'm very, very harsh on myself for things like that. So that's an important thing. So you need to mix it up. Now, once you mix it up and you start thinking about what are all the different forms of outreach, right? There's the phone and there's email and there's snail mail. Well, there's social networks. And within the social networks, think of how many different ones there are, right? There's creative approaches. We can go on and on and on. Things with content, things like right now, this is content that I'm delivering to you to establish my expertise, to gain that familiarity. Many of you, I'm riding shotgun with you right now. Tell me that doesn't create a sense of familiarity. Anyway, once you do that, now this next part is the part you have to circle. And this is the part that, like, if you heard enough, you got to listen to this, and then you can haul ass out of here. But this is the next part that is completely non-negotiable. You got to start getting better at scheduling your showing up, your hunting activities. For most of us, we make a really bad mistake. What happens is that we are in response mode from 8 to 6 or 9 to 5, whatever your hours are, it doesn't matter. We're in response mode. People call and ask us stuff, we respond. People email us, we respond. Your boss wants something, we respond. Internal things, your CSR, your inside sales rep, whatever it is, we're responding and we're putting out fires and we're servicing and all this. And if, and I'm really emphasizing if because if really never seems to come, if there's time, well, then we hunt for new business. Now, that's bad for building a business. And I'm also going to tell you it's also bad for creating familiarity because at best, it usually ends up being a sporadic type of approach instead of consistent, which you can't build relationships based on inconsistent forms of outreach where, you know, you're going to show up today and go gangbusters for a few days, but then you're gone for 7 weeks and then you're back for 12 or 13 days and then you're gone for 6 months. And I'm exaggerating only slightly, but you know the deal. Look at your activity. I bet you that we could just change around those numbers. And for some of you, and by the way, so you don't think I'm this pompous ass, for me too, at different points of my career, I was that guy too. So we're all in good company, right? We can have a support group. But anyway, you have to start scheduling this stuff. The point that I preach is that instead of when we get around to it, after doing all the other things and administrative things or whatever it is, I go the opposite route. And what I do is I make sure that I am scheduling time regularly to keep showing up and hunting in various forms, by the way. Remember, I said to mix it up, so it isn't always going to be the phone. Sometimes it's going to be email and different things that I do on LinkedIn, different things that I do with content like right now and with my blog and things like that. So let me give you several pointers here. So first of all, you want to think on like a bigger picture type of level. And what you want to do is first, after you think about all the different ways that you're willing to embrace as far as outreach, to keep it interesting, to mix it up so people start bumping into you in different places to create that familiarity. Once you do that, now you got to start thinking about, well, when am I going to do that stuff? Because that's pretty important. Now you're starting to get very specific and you're telling your brain, hey, brain, pay attention, man. I'm like serious enough about this. I'm telling you a day and time we're going to do this. You better pay attention, dude. So what you want to do is you want to look at things on a daily basis. What kinds of things do you feel that you need to do on a daily basis? Now, one thing I've mentioned several times, forgive me for the repetition, is I talk about this 2-2-2 concept. The 2-2-2 formula is every single day, above and beyond anything else that you may or may not be doing that day, you want to make sure that you send out at least 2 emails to 2 people you're not doing business with, just to kind of get in front of them, right? Or to continue a process to have them become your client. Also, in addition to the 2 emails, how about 2 pieces of snail mail? Again, to 2 people that you're not doing business with. That's 2. right there. So that's 2 and 2. That makes 4. And then the final 2 in the 2-2-2 formula would be 2 phone calls to 2 people that you're not doing business with. The beauty of this plan is that 2/3 of it can be done before or after hours. Really, the phone calls really need to be done at least a godly hour, right? You could even reach decision makers early, like 7 or 7:30 in the morning. But, you know, the email and the snail mail, I get up sometimes 4:45 a.m. I can shoot those off then, and that's not going to be a problem. So on a daily basis, that's one of the things that you might want to do. Now, I'll read you some of mine. I'm not going to give you all of them. I actually have mine printed out right at my desk. I also have them scheduled in my smartphone. But I have spend 15 minutes in LinkedIn groups. That's it. I set a timer on my phone, just so you guys know. And this is coming from a guy who has a really active LinkedIn group. If you guys haven't gone there, it's Sales Playbook. We have 48,000 members, 15 minutes. That's all I am willing to spend on it because I have higher yield activities that I need to be embracing, but I still need to show up. Also, I have on here that I need to update my status updates on all the platforms. For me, it's LinkedIn, it's Twitter, it's Google+. I am also on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, and there's a lot of other things that I'm on. And you don't have to be on 20 gazillion of them like me. You can start with one, but you need to show up daily. Things like that that you want to do. Now, some important things that I do as well, I think every single day, it's important that we embrace something called network outreach. LinkedIn is just super awesome at sending you alerts as to birthdays in your network, people changing jobs, work anniversaries, people being promoted. So what I do is I look at those alerts, which come right to my inbox. You can literally change that on your settings so that this comes to you. Isn't it cool when information comes to you, by the way, instead of you having to go to it? So have it go to you. Now what I do every single day is I make sure that I get in there and that I send little notes congratulating people, wishing them happy birthday. Certain people, I'm going to make sure that day I'm going to pick up the phone and call them, depending who they are. It might be a high-level prospect, might be a client, might be someone who's also a dear friend of mine as well. So I want to make sure that I'm continuing to show up in various places. And the final thing, and I have a lot more to it, but I don't want to beat up the whole daily thing. The other thing too, I'm going to play matchmaker on a daily basis. And I do matchmaking two ways. Either I'll send something out right in my status update where I tag the person and just sort of say something along the lines, everyone meet Joe Jones. Joe Jones is an incredible accountant or graphic designer or whatever. And this way, I'm just getting their name out. I mean, I think you score a lot of points with people that way. People see you as valuable when you're looking out, almost like you're like the shepherd of your network, right? Kind of corny, but I really believe that. But the other way that I do it is that sometimes I'll do it more direct, where I'll send an email and I'll copy two people and I'll literally say, Joe, meet John, John, meet Joe, and I'll explain why I think they should know each other. And I do that sparingly because I don't want to just do it to check off an item. I'm doing it only where I see there could be value. But I want to be at the center of a lot of introductions. That makes me valuable and it makes me more memorable to the people in my network. Now, on a weekly basis, I'm not going to give you every one of the things that I do, but one of the things I've preached to you guys for years is that I think it's very important that you move these relationships off your computer screen. So one of the things I'm going to do, because I'm going to make phone calls anyway, I want some warmer phone calls. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take at least 3 people from my LinkedIn network. I'm going to reach out to them ahead of time and I'm going to say, listen, we've been connected a while. I'm embarrassed that I've never, ever tried to get you on a phone and get to know you better. What do you say we change that? And I set up like these appointments. And my advice to you is you don't have to do a million of them a week. Do 3. Get to know 3 people. Heck, even if you did 1, my guess is, sorry for being a wise ass, it might be 1 more than you're doing now. And guess what? 1 more person each week who knows you at a better level. So I think that's very, very important. Doesn't it help with that people do business with people? Oh, I don't know. How does it go? Oh, yeah, they know, like, and trust, right? We love to beat the hell out of that one. But why don't we start doing this stuff that we keep regurgitating over and over and over again? So that's one of the things. Also, on a weekly basis, I want to make sure that I've carved out from my schedule. I'm in a different place than a lot of you people. That sounded horrible. Like you people. But a lot of the people listening to this, I'm in a different place than you. My business now is getting more mature. I'm a one-man show. So I'm also doing the production and of the work that I'm selling. So I'm doing it all. And so I don't have the time to be on the phone 40 hours a week. And I also have to be servicing my accounts. But one thing that I am committed to, aside from that 2-2-2 formula, is that one day a week I block out, and sometimes it's 2 days a week, at least one 90-minute outbound calling session where I'm calling companies. And I am, you know, continuing a process and hopefully getting in front of them and setting up a demo or an appointment or whatever you'd like to call it. But things like that. And there's a lot more to it than that. But then there's monthly. What are you going to do on a monthly basis? Well, I have all different kinds of things that I like to do. I'm going to do 2 email blasts a month. That's what I do. I have people who have opted in to a newsletter that I have. At least 2 times a month, I want to make sure that I do an email blast. But in addition to that, what I like to do is send out a resource, no strings attached, to my entire network. When I say my entire network, I don't mean just like LinkedIn. I mean people that I meet at networking events, things like that. Oh, speaking of monthly and networking events, I want to attend at least 2 local networking events a month. This is all part of my plan. So we have daily, we have weekly, we have monthly. Now, what is your plan going to look like? What is your daily going to look like? What is your weekly? What is your monthly going to look like? There's a lot of things that I have on mind that I'm not going to share. I want you to come up with your own. Now, once you come up with it, now you have to get specific and you need to block out some time for some of these activities. This next part might not sit well with you, but I want you to understand who's giving you the advice. So let me tell you what it is, and then I'll explain that who's giving you the advice thing. A lot of the things that I mentioned, like especially with LinkedIn and doing some things with snail mail and stuff like that, I don't have to do that during 9 to 5, and I won't. I don't want that cutting into my money hours. Those are my money hours. So to me, I can do some of this stuff at 5 a.m. I can stuff an envelope at 5 a.m. I could send out an email at 5 a.m. I can craft some kind of a resource letter that I'm going to send out to my entire network at 5 a.m. I can create content for this podcast at 5 a.m. I cannot record at 5 a.m. Mrs. Uncle Paul will kick my ass. Really good. I mean, like, brutally bad. Like, where you look at me and just say, I thought he was tougher than that. He's crying like a little girl right now. That kind of ass kicking she would give me for doing this. I can't do that. Right, I do have to have my standards, but you guys get the deal. So we need to do that. And I'm going to throw another thing in the mix here. Oh, I did tell you that I was going to explain who's telling you this. So I'm mentioning to you, you could do some of this stuff before and after hours. For many years, I had a philosophy that I was going to moonlight. So during the daytime, I worked my quote-unquote day job. I'd come home. I would eat dinner with my family, which I think breaking bread with your family is one of the most awesome things in the world. And those of you who are road warriors like me, you know what I'm talking about. You appreciate those times that you have with your family where you're just totally in that moment. There's no technology, no phones allowed at my table. And we're saying our grace as a family. We're breaking bread. We're finding out about what's going on. We're kidding around, breaking balls and stuff. I mean, I think it's all pretty damn important. So after that, what I usually do is I pretend like I'm going out on to my night job, like I'm physically leaving. In my case, I go upstairs to the world headquarters of Castain Training Systems. That's how awesome I am. I have a world headquarters, which is a small area in the upstairs of my home, which I know Fortune 500 companies could not ascend to that level of awesomeness. But you know what? Let's give them a little time to catch up to their Uncle Paul. But anyway, seriously, I'll go up to my office and I will moonlight and I'll work on all the things like my social networking and creating my blog and coming up with almost like a lesson plan, like what topics am I going to ask questions around in the LinkedIn groups and stuff. I do that after hours. That's the best time for that. In some cases, I'll post them after hours, but most of the time, I will create the content after hours. Even some of the emails to my network and stuff, I like to do after hours. So, you know, this is where the whole it's important that you understand who's telling you it thing comes in into play. You know, I'm suggesting to some of you that you do some stuff before and after hours if you really want to go ape with it, like I did in the beginning back in 2000. It wasn't the beginning for me in 2010. I was already into it about 2 years, but that's when I started doing this moonlighting thing where after hours, I mean, honest to God, folks, I mean, sometimes I did it 4, 5, and 6 hours. I just went at it until sometimes 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, went to bed, got up, next day, went off to the day job, rinse and repeat. That's not going to be for everyone. I think that for some of you, the most important thing you can be doing is watching TV with your family and doing some of that stuff. But what I want to tell you is that it's many times we miss out on opportunities because we put one thing at the extreme level versus the other thing at the extreme level, instead of trying to figure out a way of really blending the two and balancing the two. So let me give you some examples. In some cases, what you could do is you could have dinner with your family and then maybe hang out with them if you have young kids. And most of you with young kids, the kids are getting to bed at like 8 or 9 o'clock. Well, then 8 or 9 o'clock, then go off to your quote-unquote moonlighting job. In other cases, I have plenty of clients who do this. I did this myself for many years. There's some work that just can't wait, but yet there's your family and you want to hang out with them. So, you know, to make something a little bit better, it's not exactly ideal, but how about bringing the laptop into the living room in those scenarios? I do think there needs to be time where you're completely unplugged, but there's other times where we can blend the two. But those are some things that I want you to think about. I don't want you to work yourself into an early grave, but I'm also here to tell you, and I remember Gary Vaynerchuk saying this back in 2010. He says, you know, for those of you who say you don't have time, he said something along the lines of, like, do you really need to watch another episode of Lost? And I remember thinking about that at the time. I was like, well, no, Gary, I really don't. That's like, I enjoy watching it, but, you know, I have a DVR. And I can watch that another day, another time, or whatever it is. But right now, I want to go and put my little ding in the, you know, in the universe. So that's something to think about right there. But, you know, it's a very interesting story I want to tell you, and then we'll start wrapping up. Out by Me, and for those of you who haven't picked up on this crazy New York accent, we have these two attorneys, Salino and Barnes. And these dudes have spent, I mean, seriously, millions of dollars. For those of you in New York, the minute I mention the name, you're like, ah, I know exactly who Uncle Paul's talking about. These guys have spent millions of dollars on billboards, radio ads, television, print ads, you name it. I mean, they're all over the damn place, man. I'm waiting, like, to go into the men's room one time, and, like, one of these guys, like, pops up in, like, the toilet or something. Like, these guys are all over the damn place. And here's the deal. Everybody knows who they are. They actually one-upped that whole familiarity thing, and they ascended to a level, and I want you to write this word down. You've probably heard me mention it mucho times over the last year and a half, but they've created a sense of propinquity. Propinquity, and if you're like me, you didn't know what the hell the word meant. Fess up. I didn't know what it meant, but now I just use it as if I'm just this, like, you know, well-read type of dude with this incredible vocabulary, which I'm not. About as close to the idiot level as you can get here, folks, and still make a living. But anyway, this whole sense of this propinquity thing, it means nearness, it means closeness, it means kinship, and I have added to that definition, which Merriam-Webster does not want to pick up my definition. Could you believe that, bitch? Or maybe that's a guy. And in which case, I'd still call him a bitch, because I think calling a man a bitch is about as just as degrading as it gets, other than maybe just an open-hand slap to another man. But anyway, I have added to it. And I say it's almost like that literal bumping into that we have with people. Almost like you would a friend at the store or a restaurant or at the movies. When we keep bumping into a brand, so to speak, and you can be a brand. I know I'm a brand. That's what I've been working at here. Companies certainly are brands. But when we bump into them in a friendly way and we have a consistent message and we're really underscoring something that's good, I think people just get a certain sense of comfort with that. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, and I would, I always put this question out in the course that I was actually talking about earlier, that hunting course. And I always put the question out, and I said, if you guys think I'm kidding, why are you in my class right now? Most of you have been riding shotgun with me. Many of you have been reading my blog for some amount of time. Some of you are in my LinkedIn group. Some of you follow me on Twitter or whatever it is, but we bump into each other, don't we? Some of you, we've actually exchanged words back and forth, and we're getting to know each other that way. So, I mean, you know, I think I've given you a lot to think about here, certainly a lot of ranting and a lot of ideas. But my message to you is very, very simple. It's a friendly kick in the ass for you to start showing up more consistently, showing up better, and with multiple forms of outreach. I really believe that if you can do that and get these things on a schedule and do not try to conquer the world in the next 24 hours, I would be happy if you gave me feedback and said, you know what, Paul, it starts with one action. Hey, one action, for most of us, it's one more than what we were doing, right? So what I'd really like to do is I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts about what I just talked to you about? I'd really like to make this more interactive. And there's a few ways that you can do it. You could either stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/123, because this is episode 123, yoursalesplaybook.com/123. Or certainly you can feel free to email me your thoughts or ideas or even questions. You guys know I'm here for you. I hope you know that. And you can certainly email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. So with that, folks, I want you to get out there. I want you to try some of these things that we talked about. Gave you a lot to think about, but I don't want you just thinking about it. I want you to get out there and understand that this game has changed quite a bit. You can't keep waiting to embrace other things. And imagine what a cool day today could be. In fact, if this impacted you, just make a note of the date, because this might truly be the date that you began liberating your life and your earning potential and everything else. So that's it, folks. Have an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at yoursalesplaybook.com.